Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The Nelson Art Gallery.
What's outside the Nelson Art Gallery?
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Allier shuttlecocks.
There you go.
Yes, very much so.
I always thought it was called a birdie.
Yeah.
Either way. Handball, another one that comes in.
Handball is tough, man. That's a tough sport, man.
But you have a team. You're on a great team. You know.
You could, but I would feel like in that, like, capacity there, like, having other people, you know, like a 2-on-2 handball type thing would get like a little claustrophobic for me.
Fencing is pretty hard to do. I fenced when I was younger. Foil, epi, and saber.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Give me golf so I can just play golf every single day. Exactly. You understand what I'm talking about, 816.
Right.
Dedicate four years of your life. What do you gotta do? I'm trying to qualify for the Olympics, Mom.
Right.
I'll be back in the basement shortly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bring me my meatloaf.
We'll get back into the Royals in a second. What do you think, real quickly, what do you think is the hardest sport out of the sports to qualify for at the Olympics?
You know, and I know people are probably going to roll their eyes hard at this one, but I think for me it would be surfing, because there's a lot that's out of your control. And mm-hmm. I think the sports where you don't have the full control of everything that you're going to do are the hardest ones. Like in surfing, you're relying on that wave, right? You're relying on the perfect wave. And if the perfect wave doesn't come, or the wave breaks when it's not supposed to break or something, like, you're relying on nature in that sport. So I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to say surfing, because there's so much that is quite honestly out of your control in that sport. Yeah, and then there's sharks, yeah.
Mac, you got a hard sport you think would be to qualify for?
I'd almost rather have more out of my control, because the more that's in my control mean that my opponents have more control as well, and sure. I feel like okay. I'm going to be on the lower half of this field. 100-meter sprinters, there's just no way. Yeah. I mean, 4 years, I could maybe get good at surfing. You know, 4 years, though, I will never be nearly as fast. I'm not a sprinter. It's never going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I would say judo okay. is one, because I'm definitely not that agile and able to do that sort of sport.
That was like the original MMA.
Yeah.
You know?
And then the other one is just swimming. Like, I'm a good swimmer, grew up at a lake house, had all that sort of stuff, grew up around pools, I can swim. Not competitively.
You grew up with Walter Pennington?
He did. could not do the backstroke, couldn't do the butterfly, the little bob that they do, whatever it is. The only thing I'd be decent at is freestyle, and it would look like Katie Ledecky when she did the 1500 meter with me against everybody. Yeah, I'd just be so out of shape.
You'd be getting waxed in that one.
Cramps.
I'll tell you, one of the hardest sports out there, we've talked about this since the Olympics started, has been water polo, too.
Oh,
and so many people are recognizing now how difficult that sport is, and I think so many people now have an appreciation for how difficult water polo is. I was talking to somebody yesterday about it. Like, you're swimming, you're treading water, you're trying to throw a ball, you're fighting off the competition, you're wrestling. Like, it is an extreme sport, and to watch those guys and how good they are at water polo is unbelievable. I mean, you've got to be in some serious shape. Maybe the best shape of any athlete are the water polo athletes.
I would agree. Next time, go tread water for 5 minutes next time you're in the pool.
Just tread.
Do it for three.
Yeah, exactly.
Start at three.
Right.
I want to bring this up because I was listening to the postgame show last night on Bally's and switched over to Vern to listen to a couple of his callers. But I thought it was interesting because we talk about this Royals team and how it's so much different from last year, and how the annoying questions of what's different, what's changed. This was Vinny Pasquantino breaking the fourth wall and almost not calling out J.J. Piccolo, but basically telling him, thank you for making things different.
So y'all's where they didn't try to get Bobby at the plate?
Well, I think there's a few things that go on in that play. It's kind of reminiscent for Royals fans to the Bautista play in 20, whatever year it was, 14, 15. And it's something that, coming up in the minor leagues, I mean, we studied that play. I mean, annoyingly, J.J., I'm talking to you, like in baseball 101. I mean, we looked at that play every morning. But it paid off tonight, which is the guy who hits the ball, go. Like, you know, push it to second. The guy who's running, obviously, Bobby hustles all the time, and he's the fastest player in the league, so it helps when that's the case. And then Vance, I mean, Vance is the MVP of that play. Sending him there, reading where their left fielder threw the ball in to their shortstop. You know, it's just a really, really good baseball play. So I think we're all pretty pumped about it when things you study like that, when it pays off in a game like that where we really needed it. So
when you say you study it, I mean, how often did that come up in the minor leagues for you guys? It's a training thing or?
It was an instructs thing.
Okay.
yeah, it was literally baseball 101. We were in a classroom for, you know, 30, 45 minutes studying different plays, watching. That was at the time where I don't remember who was in the World Series that year, but, you know, watch the game the night before, come in the next morning, and kind of talk about what happened in the game. I think it was the Nationals and the Astros, because there was like a base running play down the first base line where somebody got called out for obstruction or something like that. That's what I remember about that time. It was the Bautista play and that play at first base where somebody got caught, you know, being in the baseline.
Baseball 101, video repetitiveness in your head drilled every single day while you're not playing baseball, watching teams that are successful and why they're successful. And then bang, last night, it actually comes to fruition. And you get Vinny Pasquantino, who breaks the fourth wall, looking directly into the camera and says, thanks, JJ.
Right.
Like, that's the sort of thing that when you hear that, and that's what triggered in my head last night as I'm watching the end of it, I'm going, this is why this team is different, because everyone's bought in, everyone's paying attention, and everyone's doing their homework, and then it relays to it. You know, you can study for a math test, and we all remember the test goes down, face down, and then you flip it over, and you just, some people go blank. Yeah. I was one of those kids, as soon as I saw the numbers and the algorithms, I was like, I don't remember anything. Whereas this team, Vinny brings it up. That's the Batista play from 2014.
Well, is this going to be the new Kane scoring from first? I mean, is this what we're going to be talking about for years to come on that play? Now, obviously not on as big a stage as Kane was scoring from first base, but I think we're starting to get, you know, to that point in this era of Royals baseball where you start to have those plays that become memorable, that you look back at, you know, that play kind of determined this, mm-hmm. this play kind of determined that. Bobby doing this here kind of led to this, and you start to get those plays, and when you start to add up those plays, they lead to that successful season that we're watching right now. And much like anything, you know, I hate the old saying, failure to prepare is preparing to fail, but it is so true. I mean, like, you guys and all of us sit around and watch these games and these baseball games, and we think, oh, they just go out there and you know, they play baseball, but there's so much that goes into preparing for every game, because there's so much information out there. I'm not interested in a lot of the information, but all these teams should be, right? You got this information at your fingertips. Go out there and use it. And they do that. They study things and they prepare for things. And that's why they won it in 15 with you know, Kane scoring from first, because they prepared for that play in spring training. Rusty knew that that was a possibility, that Batista was scratching his ass out there and wasn't going to hustle and was going to take a bad route to a ball. And if they were ever in that situation, they knew exactly what to do. And they won that game because they put in the work, they put in the prep. And I think that's a good motto for anything, no matter what you do for life. You know, like, every day we prepare for this show. People ask, oh, you just get off at 10 o'clock. What do you do? I said, well, the next 20 hours are preparing for the next four every single day. And that's how baseball players operate. That's how football teams operate. Why do you think the Chiefs are so good? Obviously, Mahomes and Reed, but that would be like diminishing what they do. Those guys are constantly working and preparing, and they're ready for everything. They're ready for every situation. They're ready for every scenario, and nothing surprises them. And the Royals are getting to that point now where they're ready for everything, and nothing is going to surprise them.
It's like the Chiefs, man. Like, they practice that corndog play at the end of practice, you know, once every other week, and then here comes the Super Bowl, the biggest moment on the biggest stage, probably the biggest play of the year, in overtime. You score a touchdown, the game's over.
Right.
And it was ran to perfection.
To perfection.
Like, to watch Charvarius Ward so focused on Travis Kelce and see Mecole Hardman slip behind him, where you watch that play happen last year against Philadelphia.
Right.
Happens this year, or last year against San Francisco. And you're like, that's something that was quick, drawn up, simplistic, but they ran it, they perfected it, and they knew the exact moment.
Yeah.
You hear that audio from Vinny Pasquantino last night where the guy that hits it, you bust it. The guy that's on base, Bobby, hustled. And then Vance, the MVP, has to know, like, just go. Just go. And
well, if you're holding Bobby Witt up, then you're really, you know, you're making a fool of yourself.
And not only that, the other thing that's hidden is, I don't think Vinny's trying to be safe at second. He's just a decoy to get the ball to be thrown to second. And then as soon as they do that, it's like, thank you, I'm going to round third and score, and you ain't throwing Bobby out.
Right, exactly.
We already know he went home to third in 11.1 seconds. One to home, I'm sure it was about 10 seconds.
Yeah, you're fine with that. You're not going to throw him out. And so any opportunity, any kind of little room that you can give him, you know, a little stutter or something like that, you've already lost. You might as well not throw it home. If it's not going to be a perfect throw and it's not going to be boom, 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 you're not going to get Bobby Witt. And that's just another, that's why I said yesterday, the element of him on the bases, to me, when he gets on the bases, it's as exciting to me as watching Patrick Mahomes on offense, because you know something great is about to happen. You just don't know what. And the anticipation is just incredible with Bobby Witt.
I never knew that Fesco was such a diehard Restaurant Impossible guy. He was a little sad yesterday. We'll explain why. Mac Morey, Bob Fesco, Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio. Feel like there's a little something stronger in this coffee hearing this song, but Mac, you'll explain why we're hearing this song, because it's a Way Back Wednesday, 913-586. You pick a song, you put your name, Mac does this and exact
just,
same thing.
Just finish the phone number of 913-586. Mac, you get after it. 7610.
James in Merriam. You can thank him for this.
What the hell is it?
This is I Wanna Be a Cowboy by Boys Don't Cry.
Is this something like that was playing back in the club when you had a glow stick in your mouth and you're doing like Red Bull and vodkas?
That if they do a revamp of Silence of the Lamb, I think this is the song Buffalo Bill dances to.
This is terrible.
It sounds like more than Red Bull and vodkas.
I hate to burst your bubble on this one, but this song is a little creepy to me. This is something like straight from the 80s, like, straight from like 1985 Berlin. Right? You can see this. 1985 Berlin. These dudes are opening for Hasselhoff.
And they're wearing assless chaps.
100%. Yes.
And like a leather vest with a cowboy hat.
Yeah. This is 1980 special. This song is weird.
The weirder the better, they say.
I guess that's right. Yeah. This is weird.
Currently on the Olympics right now, they're doing table tennis, or as you might call it, ping pong.
Yes, that's right.
It looks so much smaller in person.
It does, because they're in a big venue and the table's really tiny.
That's what she
and
said.
These guys are hitting the ball like it's nobody's business, man. Like, the only person that I would bet on to win table tennis would be Forrest Gump. Do you remember when he won the Olympics back in 68 in Moscow?
Oh, yeah.
He was unbelievable, man. I can't believe one guy accomplished so much. I'm still, like, every day, 35 years later, roughly, Forrest Gump, man, that you want to talk about, like, accomplishing stuff as an American? You name me an American who has accomplished more than what Forrest Gump accomplished.
Teddy Roosevelt.
What the hell did he ever do? He built Mount Rushmore. Ooh.
I mean,
President Franklin was really good.
You got some against Teddy Roosevelt?
I don't know. He's a part of the Rough Riders, but I mean, did Teddy
President of the United States?
But Forrest Gump. Look at what Forrest Gump did. He created the Nike branding. He created that smiley face. He played for Alabama. He went to the White House and drank all those Dr. Peppers. Fought in the war. Created Bubba Gump Shrimp. Like, the guy's got a resume, Dusty. I don't care who you put up there. Teddy Roosevelt is not out resuming Forrest Gump.
Mm-hmm. I bet Teddy got laid more. That's all that matters at the end of the day. I mean, you remember the scene when he went and saw Jenny at the dorm?
Yes, I do.
Didn't take him long.
No, it did not.
It took Taffer a long time, though. Kind of broke your heart yesterday. We got the announcement on Twitter or X. He's like, just so everyone's aware, I have not stepped away, but I am taking a smaller role, which to me sounds like, hey, we're moving on, but we're going to give you time to kind of see your way.
Well, I look at like John Taffer, and I'm like, that show Bar Rescue is because of John Taffer, right? Like you watch that show because of John Taffer, and it's not because he goes in there and turns bars around. To me, it's about the life stories and the way that he kind of consoles people and gets them back on their feet and helps people out. Like, I think he's a great guy. Him and Robert Irvine, who does Restaurant Impossible, both two very similar shows and both two, I think, studs that help a lot of people, turn their lives around or give them the opportunity to turn their lives around. Then it's up to them what they do with the newfound restaurant and or bar in that situation. But if John Taffer is going to step away from this show, like he says he's going to do, like there's going to be episodes of Bar Rescue that don't feature John Taffer. I don't know that I need to watch Bar Rescue anymore. He's still going to be quote unquote executive producer and all that kind of stuff. But the reason you watch the show is because of John Taffer. And I think it sucks that he's going to be stepping away because I love watching him. I think he's great on TV.
Yeah, I mean, I never really loved the show because it was just like too stressful for me.
Right.
But it was kind of fun to watch it at times because I would get the references being in a restaurant or being a bartender at some point in my life and kind of understand that. In fact, it was also kind of interesting because there was a bar in Green Valley when I lived in Blue Springs that they did
that, right? Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah.
I think it was called like Edge of Town. I don't know if I can't remember, but I remember they did that at that place. And it was
there
hilarious.
Was one out by the stadium on 40 Highway that they did as well, too I think. Yeah.
But I remember they did it, and I think maybe it was called like Long Shots. I don't know. I can't remember. Either way, it was in Green Valley. I remember that. It was like one of those 3 a.m. bars, and they revamped it. And then the guy sold it after they like redid it and everything. Smart business decision.
Yeah.
But no, it kind of leads us to another subject that we get into with the text line 913-586-7610.
There you go.
I want to bring this up because you gave a good question and
you
said, what is a show or a game show or whatever it may be that once it's originality was no longer there, has just not quite been the same or won't be the same without its original people.
Right.
I can go first on this.
Yeah.
Jeopardy doesn't have the same buzz.
You know, I agree with you.
And
right?
I love Jeopardy because during COVID they had it on Netflix. They had like every episode. So like when you could do the separation, a buddy would come over, drink some wine, beers, whatever, and we'd put on Jeopardy and see who'd get the question
right. So you drink wine, you have a Diamondback and a lake house.
I don't have a lake house. My grandfather had a lake house.
I mean, my goodness.
Diamondback, I worked my ass off for. I'm not a privileged kid. I'm not from anything like that.
Take the sweater off your neck and put it on the seat.
Somebody already said, like, oh, I didn't know Dusty was so nice. He pops his collar. No, dude.
Do you wear, like, double polos when you go out and pop
absolutely
both collars?
Not. I have a polo on today because of reasons, but I don't have, like, I'm not, no.
Mm-hmm.
Stop. Mm-hmm. Oh, he plays golf. You had a Diamondback. Yeah, you want to tell you what I did for that Diamondback? I kept score for grown men's softball leagues. Got paid $20 a game.
That's
cash.
Not bad. That's cash money
worked my ass off.
Right, yeah.
I wasn't given anything in my life. I can promise you that. Jeopardy, not the same. And then one that I don't think will be the same if he ever stops, because I think we're in like season like 37. Survivor without Jeff Probst cannot be the same.
Is it only season 37?
I don't
feel
know
like
what
we
it is, but it's just not ending.
Yeah.
It's just literally still there. Cause like you'll see, it's like coming up on Survivor, and it's like, okay, without Jeff Probst, like leading
into.
Are
you still watching Survivor though?
I watched like the first 10 seasons religiously.
But if now we're in season 37, that means you've missed the last 27.
Oh, yeah, I haven't watched it in 20 years. But the first 10 seasons, man, like Thursday night, Papa Murphy's Pizza, my family, living room, 7 o'clock, bam, Survivor went on CBS.
Papa Murphy's, like you talk about like
what it was,
pizza,
take and bake.
Man, take and bake. Yeah. You know, they don't have to do any of the work for you there.
It's
you
great.
Bake it yourself.
Cowboy
yeah.
pizza from Papa Murphy's.
Get it as crispy as you want.
Thin crust.
Right?
So
yeah.
What's a show that you guys have, and again, 913-586-7610, what's a show that you don't think will be the same without, or one that's going to be different with its new guy?
Well, I think right now, with Vanna White still there, I'm not ready to say Wheel of Fortune quite yet, even though Sajak has left and Seacrest has taken over America's Host. But once Vanna leaves, I think that's going to be a show that probably doesn't have the same type of legs, because there's already talk of them hiring. What?
No doubt.
Yeah. But there's talk of them like Kim Kardashian's name has come up as like somebody who's going to fill in for Vanna.
Jeez.
I mean, come on. There's got to be somebody else out there. Like Livy Dunn would be a better, you know, like Vanna White replacement. I think Livy Dunn would be fantastic at that. Right. I think she's like kind of America's sweetheart right now, right? Like on the scene, she'd be great at that. The Kardashians, like, I don't need anything more with the Kardashians. They're grifters, man. Like, it's played out, right? So I'm over that. I think Family Feud, you know, they've been through a lot of hosts. Richard Dawson was outstanding because he would make out with everybody on that show.
Back when you could.
Nowadays
he's a creep.
Right, yeah. And now he'd be thrown in jail. But back in that day, he's like making out with everybody's wife and mom and things like that. It was so much fun to watch. But Steve Harvey is phenomenal. Like, once Steve Harvey decides he's done with Family Feud, that show needs to be over.
Louis Anderson did it for a while too, and it sucked.
It stunk. Yeah, it stunk. And Ray Combs wasn't any good. Rest in peace. But
he was the original, wasn't he?
No,
Dawson was. I think it's the other way around.
No, Dawson, then Ray Combs.
Like, blew his head off, right?
Yeah, Ray Combs. Yeah, suicide, I think. So So Steve Harvey with Family Feud, American Idol without Simon. How many people have truly watched American Idol once Simon Cowell went away?
Went over to what is it, America's Got Talent? Is that what he does?
Yeah.
Or the, what is it, the XXX thing? Once he left American Idol, that's where he went. That's where everybody else went.
Everybody, yeah.
No, yeah.
Like, Simon was great on American Idol. And then, like, if they ever did Triple D without Guy Fieri, like, why am I going to watch that? Like, that's his show. Now, all of a sudden, it's somebody else. Like, I don't think anybody else could pull that show off.
But I will say, I think they are starting to phase him out, or he's starting to take, like, a smaller role on Food Network, because now they're doing some other show where it's like Great American Eats or something, and it's like four different people,
right?
And then Guy takes like, or votes for like the best one. It kind of gives me that vibe that they're kind of auditioning for like a new host of like maybe Diners, Drives, and Dives or Guy's Grocery Games or something like that, which obviously you can't take Guy out of that because it has his name in the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm with you on that. Mac, you got any game shows or any like TV shows that aren't the same without the original?
Yeah, I was gonna say Diners, Drives, and Dives as well. Guy Fieri is that show, and yeah, I'm pretty sad about Taffer. I really liked him. I really liked that show a lot.
Yeah.
Some good things have to come to an end, but we come back. Olympic update, LeBron James, other things as well when it comes to the Olympics, and we'll give you what we're watching as we continue to move through the day. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, Dusty Likens. This is 610 Sports Radio. That's Samoy. Way back a Wednesday. 913-586-7610. Send a song and your name. Mac will do the rest. Mac, Where's this one coming from?
This is from Jeff in Platte City. He said, good morning, Tennessee Mac. Can we please hear some Dean Martin, Amore,
for there the Crown Jewel?
It's my biggest fan.
There you go.
Little Dean Martin.
What does That's Amore mean?
That's love.
Okay. I didn't know that. Today I learned. T-I-L.
Yeah. I learned in Italy that Del Giorno means of the day. I had no idea.
Of the day. Di Giorno?
Because every menu had something Del Giorno on it. I'm like, man, Bob Del Giorno is like running this town, right? I was like, oh my God, like Del Giorno, like he must know everybody in Italy. And then Josh texts me, he goes, that's of the day. And I'm like, well, I was 47 years old when I knew Del Giorno meant of the day.
So they'd have like a sandwich, it'd be like sandwich Del Giorno kind of thing.
Like pasta Del Giorno or gotcha. You know whatever Del Giorno and I'm like Bob Del Giorno man. I like how we've taken a word though of the day and turned that into a last name. Like that just screams American, right?
100%.
Mm-hmm.
Of the day, that's your last name, Del Giorno.
What is your soup of the day?
Yeah,
ma'am, it is 99 degrees outside.
I'll take that.
Yep,
I'll take the soup Del Giorno.
It's not delivery, it's of the day.
Well, of the day, yeah. It's not delivery, it's Del Giorno.
Is it Del Giorno or DiGiorno?
It's DiGiorno, oh, yeah, but, yeah, it's DiGiorno.
Does that mean of the night?
Uh-huh.
boy.
And
quick recap on the...
I would try Burlington Street.
Thank you, Bob.
Yep. Burlington Street. That's where Walter Pennington grew up.
Mm-hmm.
On the east side of Burlington.
Next door to you, right? Yeah. Yeah.
I would try Burlington Street.
Yeah, because I was rich.
Right.
Not a chance.
I mean, what did you have, a Diamondback bike?
Yeah, but I paid for it. Again, we can get to the Olympics a bit later. I want to get back into the Royals for a second, because I think that there are different feelings that everybody gets, and maybe, and I'm just kind of spitballing here. I think there are different feelings everybody gets after every single night, win or loss.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you get to this point when you are with the Royals, and Matt Quatrero will join us at 9:00. Here on 610 Sports Radio, so be sure to be tuned in. We'll ask him questions about this trade market. We'll ask him questions about Vance Wilson, about Bobby Witt Jr. and everything and so forth. But you hear the audio that we played earlier, we played again later on, about Vinny Pasquantino talking about studying plays, learning from, you know, past examples. You hear Michael Massey talk about how it's nice to be on the other side of the trade deadline. And yesterday, for me at least, felt kind of like the Royals belong.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean this because, and I know people can roll their eyes that aren't maybe Royals fans or take everything with a grain of salt and say, well, it's Chicago White Sox. Yeah, but, you know, how many times in the Chiefs regular season, early on in the success train that was 2018, 2019, where it was like, yeah, but I mean, they beat the Cardinals.
Right.
Okay, yeah, okay. But it was on the road. They play the game, and they were down 7-3 at one point, came back and ended up winning.
Yeah, this isn't college sports where back right. in the day Bill Snyder would schedule Three Sisters of the Poor right. before you got into Big A play. You play the schedule that is dictated to you by the league office. And so I've, Dusty, never yeah. been a guy that's like, well, they're only they're playing the schedule. Everybody's playing the same schedule, right? Everybody plays right. the same teams, just the division matchups are a little bit different and whatnot. So you can't say they're only winning games because they're only playing the Chicago White Sox. They're beating the team that is on their schedule, and that's all you can ask them to do.
Right, and that's why when you look at, you know, regular season football, right, you oh, wow, they beat the Raiders, they beat the Broncos, they beat the Cardinals. Those are three wins.
Mm-hmm.
You don't win those three games, or you win two of those three games, your seeding can drop drastically.
Drastically.
You could lose the division. Yeah. You lose the one seed. Oh, they have tiebreaker over this. When you play the White Sox, you take care of business, and you win. And again, they did it in the way that they've done it all year. They have their 59th win last year. They had their 54th quality start and their 29th come-from-behind win. That's a team that knows what its goal is. That's a team that knows what its expectations are. And to think that the original expectation from everybody in this town, myself included, I'll admit it as long as I'm alive, that I just want a competitive baseball, that changed after June.
Mm-hmm.
Once July got here and they were still in that conversation, and now they're even more so in deep in that conversation because guess what? The games are running out, the season is ending, and teams around you are losing. Boston loses. Tampa Bay loses. You have a two-game lead on the third spot. That's a little bit more breathing
Twins
room.
Lose last night. You gain Twins a game in the quote-unquote standings on the Twins last night. You're tied for second right now,
you're
right?
You're taking care of business, and when other people don't, it's a double-edged sword for you against everybody else.
But that's also the sign of a good team in any sport that we're talking about, right? And I keep going back to the old Dick Vermeil line, you keep a losing team losing. And when you're in the midst of a season and you're facing a losing team, you've got to keep that losing team losing, because it would be very easy if you're the Royals, let's just say, right? And you see your schedule, you got three games against the White Sox. The White Sox are not a good baseball team right now, right? We all know that. They're a double-A team at best right now. And so it would be very easy to let that get to your mind and say, well, it's just the White Sox. We don't really have to put in an effort today. We're just going to go out there and win the game. If you do that, that's when you lose, and that's when you say, oh, man, I've got regret now because I didn't take that team seriously. And that starts with leadership. It starts with Salvi. It starts with Q. It starts with the guys inside that locker room to not look at the schedule and go, well, it's just three against the White Sox. We can go out there and roll out our F game and still find a way to win. So
good teams don't do that, though.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's why this is a good team, because they go out there and they take care of business. And they win today. They're 12-1 on the season against the Chicago White Sox. That's damn impressive. I don't care how bad the White Sox are. You went 12-1 against them this year. You did what you had to do. And going 12-1 against the White Sox is going to have more of an impact of you making the playoffs than going 1-3 in that four-game series against the New York Yankees and not making the playoffs. This is why, at the end of the season, when we look back and go, why did the Royals make the playoffs? Because they took care of the bad teams. They didn't split with the White Sox. They didn't play around with the Marlins. They didn't, you know, do all the stuff against the A's. Like, they went out there and they beat the teams that they were supposed to beat, and they took care of business against them, and then were steady the rest of the way. That's how a baseball season works, and good teams understand that. Good teams maximize their games against the bad teams, beat the bad teams, make hay against the bad teams, and then hopefully you go 500 and you play steady baseball the rest of the way against the good teams. And with seven teams now getting in each league, that's how you make it into the playoffs. The Royals are literally following the blueprint that is out there of how to get into the postseason. And beating up on the White Sox is going to be the number one thing that we look back on and say, that's why this. They're 11 games over 500 after today if they win against the Chicago White Sox. And you know what they are in the standings? About 11 or 12 games over 500. It's that. That's the difference right now between the Royals being a good team and the Royals being a bad team, is taking care of business against the bad team in Chicago.
It's like Denny Matthews said way back in, April.
And three times now in franchise history, the Royals have swept a four-game series from the Chicago White Sox. All three times were here at Kauffman Stadium. In July of 1994, in July of 2019, and now in April of 2024. And you know what? It's a shame that this wasn't a 12-game series, because the way the Royals did everything right and the way the White Sox did nothing right, it wouldn't have been bad to keep them here for another week and a half and keep playing, but it doesn't work that way.
Foreshadowing is a beautiful thing in baseball when it happens back in April.
Yeah.
Fesco in the Morning brought to you by Rainier Garage Doors of Kansas City. LiftMaster has patented MyQ technology and is the number one professionally installed garage door opener. Find them at RainierKC.com. Royals win again. Bobby Witt Jr. does something that doesn't show up in the stat sheet, and I'll tell you why. Bobby Witt Jr. is still the front runner, in my opinion, Bob opinion, and Max opinion, for the MVP. You're listening to 610 Sports Radio and Fesco in the Morning. Back here on Fesco in the Morning, Dusty Likens, Mac Morey, Bob Fesco with you on a wonderful Wednesday, a way back Wednesday, 913-586-7610. You send in the song, you give your name, and Mac does the rest. Mac, where are we currently on a way back Wednesday?
This is Runaway by Bon Jovi, and Adam and Olathe requested it for his birthday.
Way to go, Adam. Happy birthday to you, bud. Good happy song birthday. Choice, my man. Good song choice for you, my friend. I love
happy
it.
Happy birthday to Adam.
Here's a quote from WIP, our sister station in Philadelphia. Are you guys ready for this one? Are you ready for this update here from the National Football League? According to somebody at NBC Sportsnet in Philadelphia, Jalen Hurts probably looks the best he's looked in his 5 years.
camp cliche.
Yeah, exactly. Right. If that doesn't scream training camp.
Best shape of your life season. Come on, man.
There it is.
You like that, Chiefs fans?
There it is. Jalen Hurts.
Best shape of his life.
Best he's looked in his 5 years, according to Rubo NBC Sportsnet, Ruben Frank, which to me, I'm sure Jay Binkley probably wants to eat him because his name is Ruben Frank.
Mm.
And you combine a Ruben on top of a Frank, and you've got a Ruben Frank.
You might have something
wow.
there.
Wow.
You know, think about that,
dang.
Right? A Ruben Frank, right? Jay Binkley right now is going, oh, I know Ruben.
I'm thinking about that right now.
Yeah, think about it right now. Would you put the Reuben on top of the hot dog? Like, you would get the hot dog on the bun, spicy mustard, sauerkraut, and then top it with your corned beef or pastrami, whichever you prefer. Little, you know, Russian dressing on there, call it a Reuben. Or would you have the Reuben already made, butterfly the hot dog wiener, slam it on top of the meat, smash the bun on top, and bite it?
I think I would butterfly the dog.
Yeah, that's right.
And then do chopped corned beef on top, little Thousand Island or what, a Russian dressing,
yeah.
And then sauerkraut.
Yep. Okay, so you do it on the hot dog bun. Mm. You and wouldn't do it on the marbled rye?
My bun would be a rye bun.
It would be a rye bun?
Yeah, like a marbled rye.
Hot dog bun?
Nah, just a piece of bread.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a bun. It would it would be the bread.
Then it would technically be the hot dog would be a sandwich.
Yeah,
oh,
which in Italy, a hot dog was a sandwich. Every menu had sandwiches, and hot dog was always listed underneath. So the end of the question is: the hot dog a sandwich? Yes, it is. So you would take marble rye or regular rye,
lightly toasted, bend it.
Okay,
butterfly
so
the
one
dog.
Slice of bread.
Mm-hmm.
You're going light,
yeah,
like a low carb thing.
Yeah,
okay,
gotta watch it.
Kraut. Chopped up hot dog.
No, chopped up corned beef.
Chopped up corned beef. So the dog would be sticking out of the bun.
Yeah, it'd be butterflied.
Okay.
And then you put the corned beef on
top. In the middle.
Yeah.
Put the dressing there and then sauerkraut.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Ruben Frank. Like, if that's not a great combination, what a good name for a gentleman. His name
is
Ruben Frank. Hmm.
Guy's got something he's missing out on.
Did you know that Ruben was invented in Omaha?
No, I did not.
Oh, yeah. Little known fact. Of all places to invent the Ruben, Omaha, Nebraska.
And Domino's was in Kansas, right?
Yeah.
Like somewhere.
And
like
Pizza, Wichita, both of them. Yeah,
yeah. Nice.
Well, actually, Pizza was Wichita. I think Domino's was Illinois somewhere. I watch a lot of those Adam Richmond shows on the History Channel, like the History of Food.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the food wars between like Kellogg's and Post. Compelling television.
Nice. Was Lamar's Donuts created in Lamar, Missouri?
It was.
Okay,
yeah.
Just making sure. Max, a big nerd.
Yeah.
When it comes to video games, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Lives in his mom's basement,
right?
Plays video games.
Come on.
This is what happens when you have someone in their 40s, someone in their 30s, and someone in their 20s.
Right.
Sometimes you let the one in their 20s run away with a topic, and Mac has, of course, Madden ratings. Which Bob is pining to know where the next Chiefs land because he's got his system ready. He's already pre-ordered Madden 26.
Of course.
Hang on. We have breaking news from the 573 on the text line today.
Okay.
Played a golf course in Nebraska this weekend. They had a Reuben dog. It was fire.
Mm.
Where's the golf course? Explain the Reuben dog. And send us a picture. Well, we can't take pictures on the text line.
Oh, we can't.
Also, the Domino's was created in Michigan.
Michigan. Wherever. It wasn't here.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Pizza Hut was here.
Pizza Hut was Wichita.
Bring back the Pizza Hut buffet.
Bring back just sit-down Pizza Huts in the salad bar and book it on Friday night where you waited 2 hours for some of the greasiest, most delicious pizza you ever did have.
Pan pepperoni thick crust.
Oh, man. Oh, so good.
Give me
stuffed
that
crust.
Smokehouse Ranch. You got yourself a Combolina right there.
The old school Pizza Hut, man, was so good. And then they like, well, we're going to get healthier and take out the grease.
No, you know what you're signing up for when you go to a Pizza Hut buffet.
Exactly.
Anyways, Madden ratings, there's a surprise chief on your list here, Mac.
Yeah, they released the top 10 safeties and top 10 running backs today. So I think we know who the best running back in Madden probably is, right?
Isaiah Pacheco.
Absolutely, right?
Yeah.
No, CMC, and he did get the 99. We talked about the 99 club. There are two 99s now released of the six. Christian McCaffrey is one of those. Any guesses on the two and the three running
backs?
He's
got a 99 rating, and Brandon Ayuk ain't one.
Okay. You said who's the guess of the second and third running backs?
I'm going to guess Isaiah Pacheco is two and three.
Mm-hmm.
No, not quite that high. I do think there's going to be a little bit of respect for Isaiah Pacheco because he is a two-time starting running back and two-time Super Bowl champion and pretty good at his job.
And he's pretty damn good at what he does.
The
sad thing is he's never going to get paid, but, you know, that's neither here nor there.
Second running back on the list. Second running back on the list.
Marshall Faulk.
No. I'm going to say, Saquon's not going to be up there, is he?
Oh, God. The most overrated free agent move maybe ever.
He's going to be great this year.
He's going to be so awful.
He's in the greatest shape of his life. So is Jalen Hurts.
Yeah. Good luck to you.
All right, who's two in the Madden rings?
Nick Chubb at 96 overall. Derrick Henry at 94 overall.
Wow, Derrick Henry's still high on that list. That's awesome.
I think it is awesome.
Proof the old dudes can still do it.
So everybody's
but Saquon can't do it.
Everybody's going to play with Baltimore.
I don't think Saquon's that good. Saquon Barkley has had opportunities to star. He's either hurt for an entire year or hides. And when you have Daniel Jones as your quarterback and you're a running back and you don't star in a big way, what's that say about you?
I thought he did pretty good last year.
Yeah, me too.
Derrick Henry, 94. That's, to me, a little bit overrated. But I guess that's just the respect of his name. So everybody online this year is going to play with the Chiefs, Dolphins, and Ravens.
Exactly.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you're right, Dusty. Pacheco coming in at number 10 on the running backs list. Top 10.
You're telling me there's 9 better running backs in the NFL than Isaiah Pacheco?
Would you like to hear them?
I actually do. Yeah.
I want to see where Swift and Bijan Robinson are on this list.
Taylor's on this list ahead of Pacheco?
So this is Pacheco, 87 or all, and then we'll go 9 up. Okay, so from 9 up, Aaron Jones, Kenneth Walker, Josh Jacobs, Travis Etienne, Joe Mixon, Barkley, and then you've got Henry Chubb.
Joe Mixon still ranking high on that list. Changing teams and everything. Top 5 running back in the NFL? Wow.
That seems a little high to me. I like Mixon.
People are going to use a lot of Houston Texans online too, I would assume.
The Houston Texans are probably going to be one of the most bet on teams and used teams in video games this year because they're coming off a season like they did last year, right? And I think they're going to be good, so rightfully so. But like you're going to see such an uptick in people's interest level in the Houston Texans this year.
So you think Isaiah Pacheco is underrated, perfectly rated, or overrated on 87 overall? Pretty good rating.
That's good.
For a team that passes a lot.
Yeah, but I guess it's okay. Yeah. I mean, I'd like to see him in the 90s, obviously, but I mean, who's going to scoff at an 87? That's a B plus, right?
Yeah.
So now what, you're going to have a 90? You think Kelsey's going to be a 99?
He's at least 97, right?
Right.
See, what's holding Travis Kelce back? Just his alleged age and Rob and Carrington. Oh, Carrington, he's so old.
He's washed. I mean, I'll be honest with you, if there's a 94 ready for Derrick Henry, I would assume that Travis Kelce should still get some respect to be at least a 98.
Absolutely.
Yep. Right?
Absolutely.
And I think Chris Jones is like a 97.
Yep.
Mahomes is a 99. Rasheed Rice, has his rating came out yet? Are they the receivers or is he on it?
We do have Rasheed Rice's.
Let's dive into that real quick.
Yeah, let me go there. First, can you guys guess, before Rice, because I've got it in front of me, go to, can you guys guess Justin Reed's rating?
He's probably number one.
As safeties?
Yes.
I would say he's a 93.
Wow, 93. 83.
Oh, wow.
I know, right?
He's also hurt right now. I don't know if that factors in. If it, you know, because you can update these games, obviously. I don't know if that factors in. Justin Reed's a damn good player to have an 83 rating. That's like a B minus. I think Justin Reed's better than a B minus safety in the NFL.
The tenth best safety in Madden right now, 88 overall, Javon Holland. So he's 5 points lower than the 10th best safety.
Yeah, that's
low.
I gotta think the injury factors in on that. I gotta think him not being here for the first, 2 months or whatever it's gonna be of the season is probably having an impact on his Madden rating right now. And then you talk about the rehab and getting back and, all that kind of stuff and, how the quad's going to respond and, ipso facto, you get an 83.
Rasheed Rice.
99.
I bet he's an 84.
I would have had him at 84, 85. This is low to me. 81.
That is low.
That's too low.
I think Rasheed Rice is poised to have an unbelievable season. Every time I talk to people up at training camp, guys, it's like, you see here about Rasheed Rice? Rasheed Rice this? Like, they love what's going on with Rasheed Rice right now. And I think he's going to have himself. Like, mid-season, people are going to be talking about Rasheed Rice. People are going to be saying, you see that Rasheed Rice? Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's good. Like, people will be talking about Rasheed Rice all across the National Football League by the time the middle of the season rolls around. I think he's going to have a large impact on this team. I think he's going to be, and I hate to say the number one target because I don't think there is a number one target outside of Travis Kelce, but I think he's going to be one of those guys that Patrick Mahomes really trusts, like really, really trusts. And that trust level is going to be extremely high with him throughout the course of the season, and you're going to start to see it. 3rd and 7, who's got the 8-yard completion? There's Rasheed Rice, right? I think he's going to be that. I don't want to say the Sammy Watkins mold because I think he's going to be better than Sammy Watkins was, but a guy that you can rely on and a guy that's going to be there for the quarterback. I think from everything that I've been hearing and talking and having conversations about, like they have developed this synergy, this chemistry. It's working with Rasheed Rice right now.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the show.
Yeah, this too. Yes. Okay.
Would you guys say, though, I know there's no number one wide receiver per se, but would you say Rice has the best chance to get the most targets?
No, I still think that goes to Kelsey.
No. Forget Kelsey.
We're taking Kelsey out of the equation.
Yeah,
I think Rice gets the most targets this year. Yeah,
him or Hollywood.
But Xavier Worthy, man, he's playing some good football too, right?
You talk about chemistry and trust. There seems to be a lot of trust and chemistry with Mahomes and Xavier Worthy
early on this one. And I'll tell you what, there's two guys right now that I don't know that are going to make this team, and it's Sky Moore and it's Kadarius Toney.
Mm.
I think both of those guys could be victims of the Turk this year. And you know, like Sky is
like Young Turks.
Yes. Like Sky has had some good practices from what I've been hearing. Like they've liked what he's done recently, but he still needs to do more, right? Mm-hmm. He still needs to continue to go out there and do more and continue to, you know, he has to overimpress, I think, in training camp, for lack of a better
year
term this year,
man,
right?
You're a high draft pick.
Yeah, and I was talking to some folks about, you know, Kadarius Toney, and they're like, well, he's healthy. Like if that's the best thing that you can say about a player in the NFL, that, like, he's healthy, you know, like, you got an uphill battle to go there. I think Kadarius Toney has more of an uphill battle, guys, than we believe he has right now. And I think Sky Moore has more of an uphill battle to make this team than I believe right now. I know a lot of other people have been like, get rid of this guy, he's no good, blah, blah, blah. I thought because he was a second-round draft pick, he's not making any money, you could probably see his way onto a roster, right? Because of you know, financial constraints, and he's a draft pick, and you want to give him every opportunity. But the more I talk to people, the more I'm like, he doesn't have a roster spot locked up at all. So Sky needs to continue to bust it up there. And I think Kadarius Toney could be a sneaky, I don't want to say cut, but Kadarius Toney may be one of those guys that you see traded, you know, like after Labor Day happens and all the rosters are kind of figured out now. Like Kadarius Toney could be flipped for like a sixth round pick to Dallas or something like that, or wherever. Like, well, that's where I could see, or maybe Sky Moore could potentially be that guy. I don't see both of those guys making the team this year.
Well, Dallas, they can't take Kadarius Toney yet because they're still waiting for the final leaves to fall.
That's right.
They got to wait for the sack to be wet in the glory hole. Continuing with this real quick, though, 610 Sports Radio, KCSB, Kansas City, WD.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.